There's a lot of things we mutually share as interests in terms of consciousness. So I'm going to explain a little bit today about a method which exists to evaluate consciousness. It's an initial attempt to understand and measure to a degree consciousness. So the method was created a number of years ago based on a lot of research, decades of research. The guy who wrote it was a guy called Waldo Vieira, who created this, researched a lot of biographies, a lot of people, a lot of personality tests, and came up with this method, which is based on, obviously I'll get that, I'll explain a little bit more shortly. So anyway, I'm a volunteer, so I managed to retire, and I just give my time to doing research that I think is of value and interest, and in this case, the focus on many, much of my volunteering and teaching at the moment is a conscientiometrist, someone who measures or can evaluate consciousness. So it's not an easy thing, it's a complex thing, but I'll explain a little bit about the paradigm we approach it under. We approach it under a sort of a new paradigm. We call it the consciential paradigm. It's a paradigm where we include consciousness along with energy as entities that exist in the universe. But consciousness is not energy. Consciousness is beyond energy, but it controls energy, and we manifest through energy. Not only in this physical dimension, obviously here, but also in other dimensions. So what does that mean? In more subtle energetic dimensions, and we manifest through other bodies. So for example, out-of-body experiences are a thing that you as an individual can have to prove to yourself these ideas which I'm presenting. So it's not a case of believing anything I say, please don't, but see if the ideas have logic for you and make sense. And then there are techniques and methods to lucidly leave the body, have experiences, come back. And when you've had 1,000 of them, 5,000 of them, and the experiences are coherent and make sense, sometimes they're a little shocking and impactful, you start to go, well, this is a human potential, this is a human ability that we're talking about here. So this is sort of the central philosophy. Really don't believe in anything. Experiment. We have a lot of difficulty on this planet. We believe a lot. We assume too much. We underestimate our own opinions and experiences. Right? Of course, we need to sometimes improve the interpretation of our experiences, but we are very accustomed to putting what other people say above our own experiences, giving more value to what other people say over and above ourselves. And that, I think, does a disservice to ourselves. Because what we understand about consciousness is that each of us is an individual consciousness that is evolving. We evolve within one life, but we evolve over countless lifetimes we've had in the past. So I'm saying don't believe, right? Please don't believe. But you can have retrocognitions where you can remember past lives and see these things and see yourself, and you can compare, well, this is how I was, and this is how I've grown. We evolve really slowly. So it's not easy to change our internal postures and attitudes. But based on our own experiences and experimenting, we can identify and have more facts available to us to do exactly that. So this is in Brazil, in a city called Iguaçu Falls, Foz do Iguaçu, and this is a post-materialist consciousness research center. And there's more than 25 organizations here. This is part of it over the river. There's the river is over here, down here. Over the river, there's other buildings, other structures, and so on. These things here are individual laboratories where you go in by yourself. Each has a specific theme. It could be past lives. It could be understanding how you think better. It could be things related, well, they're all related to your evolution as a consciousness, your personal growth and change. And this is what the concentrogram is, one fundamental tool to help us to do that. So the concentrogram is this method to evaluate consciousness. So that's CIAC. So here's a concentrogram. This is the original version, produced in like the 90s, based on an old book that was lost to humanity in like the 1930s, 1940s kind of thing, called the psychogram. Seems a few leaders at the time were evaluated, didn't like what the evaluation said, and the thing pretty much got wiped out. So it's a postmodern post-materialist method proposed to evaluate the integral manifestation of consciousness. Integral meaning not just physical, not just here I am, this box of cells that has electrochemical processes happening and that's me. No, integral, including the physical, but also these non-physical things. So when the body dies, something persists, we persist. And we refer to much of I'll explain that a little bit more in front, but we refer to many of what is recorded in us as paragenetics. So we have our genetics and we have our paragenetics. So this book, it's just getting set up by the publishers and it's going to be available for download for free within a couple of months. So what is in this book? We'll get there very quickly. It's within the field of consensio-metrology, which is a discipline applied to the study of parameterized measurement or evaluation of pluri-existential, i.e. we've had thousands of existences, so it seems. Polyhedral, we've got lots and lots of different facets to us. None of us is equal to another consciousness anywhere in the universe, which is quite bizarre considering how little we know about the universe. I can say that even with some confidence. But each of us is like, in ourselves, a conscientious micro-universe. We are so complex and so nuanced and have so many facets that are way beyond what genetics explains. If you have genetic identity twins, for example, they're still different in terms of the consciousness. Even if they try really hard to be the same one to the other, they're still different. So where does this come from? Brought up in the same house, but still different. Brought up in the same country, the same mesology, and so on. And then holosomatic, so multidimensional. We work with energies. I was in a talk yesterday, a workshop, where we were doing work with bioenergies. And I really enjoyed it because I work with bioenergies a lot. And this is part of our reality, but one we don't really pay much attention to. It's ignored. And that's to our detriment, because life here in this dimension is an energetic existence. Which first in my head that I was like, well, but yeah, the body is made of energies, and we're not the body, we're in the body, using the body. And the degree of our competence in using our body and its facilities varies person to person as well. And there's obviously a connection between this consciousness and this holosomatic consciousness, which is on the next slide here. So this is how we understand the holosoma. So soma is the Greek word for body. Holo is the whole, all, or set of. So we see here the holosoma. Soma, the physical body here, it's connected energetically, cell to paracell. So there's an energetic connection between the paracell and the psychosoma, the body of emotions, the emotional body, or the body of desires here, to its counterpart in the physical body. So any change in the physical body affects consciousness. Any change in the brain, or I'm hungry, affects my humor. Right? It doesn't affect me too much, but for many other people, I get angry, they get upset, and so on. So we see that there's a real direct correlation and interaction, a two-way interaction between all these different bodies. Up to the mental soma. The physical body affects how we can think, and obviously, ideally, what controls our manifestation and our process is our mental body. This is where we have our ideas, our thoughts, we have our misunderstandings, we have our beliefs. They're all part of here, as is what we call the hollow memory. So memory from all of our past lives, which, when we're manifesting here in the physical body in this dimension, is hard to have access to. It's not easy. But there are techniques available to use to evaluate this. So I'm showing this slide in part because the consensiogram is divided into 10 different sections. The first four sections pertain to these bodies here. So the soma, the energosoma, which is really just purely an energy body, which vitalizes the physical body. And you can see it around people quite easily. If you blur your vision a little bit, you'll start to see perhaps something around it. The people close to their bodies in the eye. Okay, that's the energosoma. Psychosoma, or the astral body, and then the mental soma. So the consciousness uses these bodies to manifest. So when I say we manifest in different dimensions, for example, we have a projection out of the body, we use the psychosoma to manifest. And this body lies in our bed in the empty brain condition. And the automatic autonomous process that is happening in the body, sustaining its life as they do while we sleep. And we go out and we can have lucid experiences. And the difference between a dream and an out-of-body experience is very distinct. One, you're passive, just receiving, observing anything. And OBE, you're an actor in the play, like we are all here now. But the rules are a little bit different in that body. So it's quite distinct. To examine another manifestation of consciousness is this concept of thosin. It's a unit of consensual manifestation. We always produce thoughts and emotions, and they go together with our energy all the time. We can't just produce our thoughts or just our emotions. These thosins we're always producing. Even when the body is asleep, the consciousness doesn't sleep. So we are always producing these things. And you can see how they're tied, how the production of this word is tied to the structure of the holosoma. So this is how we have this manifestation. So, quickly, the influences that we experience as a consciousness here in this dimension. We have influences from our genetics. We have influences from the mesology, that being the cultural traditions and norms and so on. Here, holothossings, so I just mentioned thossings here. Holothossings is the fields of energy created by the production of all of the thossings we produce. So each individual has a holothossing. Each city has a holothossing. Each course or institution has a holothossing. And then how we connect with them, they influence us. And then our paragenetics. So, paragenetics are all those experiences, knowledge, information, abilities, skills we have, traits we have accumulated in past lives, and then we have and are manifesting here in this life. So the consensogram is what? It's divided into 10 sections, which I'll show you shortly, and 100 evaluation sheets. I'm not going to show you all of them, but they're on the printout that's over by the door, which you can help yourself to if you like. Within that, there's 2,000 items. An item could be just one question, or it could be a set of up to four questions, which you use to do your evaluation of yourself. And you can apply this, also apply the technique to other people as well. Historical figures, you can do an evaluation to the best of your ability and using the data and information available. But you typically you apply personal facts and experiences and using the consensogram to determine a mark. And the other input we have is this evolutionary scale of consciousnesses, which I'm not going to show here, it would be too condensed on a slide, but it's basically an independent scale which sort of organises from the least evolved that we can identify to the most evolved. So you could say like the least, say it comes in around 10% evolved on that particular trait or ability. Of course you can have zero when you don't have the trait at all. And the most evolved, obviously we're starting to classify characteristics of consciousnesses and which ones are more evolutionary, constructive, productive, existential, and can be observed. So, the taxonomy of the work starts with the holosoma as the primary variable, where we have here the soma, the energosoma, the psychosoma, and rationality or the mental soma. So this is the basic structure of the first four sections, and that means the first 40 evaluation sheets in the methodology. And it's all about to do with the maturity in relation to your employment of that particular body. And I've got some example questions soon, so you'll get a view on how that is. But for example, if you commit actions which are essentially generating a slow suicide for you in this life, right? Obviously, you're not doing too well in looking after your body, so you don't score very well on that question. But if you don't have any actions that are generating those kinds of consequences, you would score highly for that particular question. And it's up to you. You're doing a self-evaluation to understand yourself and create this more precise diagnosis of yourself, your current evolutionary condition as a consciousness. The next six sections here are involving more priority, important, relevant attributes for consensual evolution. So they are leadership, communicability, prioritization, coherence, consensuality, and universality. We talked about before in a talk before, we talked about coherence. a bit where we talked about ethics and our behaviour differing from our knowledge. If we know this much and we only do this much, our coherence is lacking. And you'll see when I bring up these questions, they kind of squeeze you a little bit. Like all of the 2,000 questions, most of them, maybe 90%, make you feel uncomfortable to some degree, which is good, because then you start to see, what's the issue? What am I lacking? It's rare that we score 100% on many of the questions. So we see actually there's still quite a lot of space for us to grow. So for example here, the way to approach these things. Most people open the work, the book, and then close it and go, I don't know how to do that. So that's why the organization, one of them I volunteer for, Conscious, we give courses online to help people actually go through and answer this. We just explain the questions, we explain the marking methodologies. And the book itself, actually in English, has those kinds of things explained. And that'll be in the PDF that's available for download as well. So here, for example, you look, professionality, livelihood, in the section of prioritization. So you're trying to contextualize your thinking for this particular question. And then you get down to this question here. What is your consciential maturity in the presence of personal correction, competence, true merit, and just fame? So when we look at this, we have to consider all the different aspects and do a lot of self-reflection. So we end up re-perspectivizing and revisiting many of the things in our life. And sometimes, you know, one question sometimes takes a good period of time to actually reflect on sufficiently to get a proper answer, because you want to know this based on facts and the reality, not on an idealized image of yourself.
And if some people don't have a good reflection quality evolved, what?
Yeah, so this is a trait which they'll probably identify in the work that they'll, yeah, this is something I'm lacking, but it is something we develop. All these traits that we don't have, or that we have but not very well developed, we see that, well, this is something we will develop over time.
But
improve our memory, improve our association of ideas, and so
right.
on.
But do you have a kind of indicator? Does it valid reflection or not?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because for any given individual, the reflection is valid. Even if it's full of distortions and errors, it's what that person was capable of doing at that moment. So, to some degree, it's valid. To use that, though, and then compare their marks to somebody else's, this is hard to do, at least on the first initial attempt to understand and do the self-evaluation. But we see that if the person repeats the process individually, right, by themselves, they will improve their self-evaluation. They will remember more clearly, they will remember other facts, they will start to have a healthier interpretation and understanding of themselves as well. So it's an ongoing method and process, but the person generates, even by doing it, very wrongly the first time. You can almost say there's almost no right or wrong, but you can see the degree of the distortions that people have in their self-evaluation. There's some courses we have where the people present your own self-evaluation, or at least on one evaluation sheet, and we see how the person is managing that process. And then with feedback and observation from other people, sometimes we say, I didn't see that in that perspective. Because we could have 5 different people here explaining this question, and each of them can have a valid interpretation of the question, but different. So it's very subjective. But we do see that the results from doing that self-reflection are constructive, are very positive for the person, liberate themselves and so on. And the skills we develop. Another one here, for example, scientificity. Prioritization again, about sheet number 67. Here, what has been your performance before education, science, technicalness, and cosmoethics? What evolutionary benefits have you been obtaining with the self-aware application of the current science on Earth? So it's easier said than done in evaluating these things. What has been your performance before education, science, and cosmetics? So we could be, you know, from all societal measures, doing very well, a big success, maybe making money as well, all those kinds of things. But for ourselves, we're not being cosmoethical. We're involved in, for example, a company that's creating products that harm people, or is manipulating the markets, or is doing all sorts of things. And there's examples all over the place. So, yeah, as I said, they make us reflect a little bit more on who we are. And then I like this question a lot. What are the predominant characteristics in your paragenetic consciential roots? So our paragenetics could be reflected, or are reflected, in your innate ideas. They are the things you inherit from yourself, from one life to the next. And they have consequences. What you conquer in terms of attributes in this life, you inherit in the next. We don't change. Consciousness has this continuity. Even after we die, we can go out of our body and prove this to ourselves, but the person doesn't change. The knowledge you have, the abilities you have, the traits, the characteristics stay the same. Yes, as we described, the manifestation is different because you're no longer in this dense physical body, and that means other things can be possible. It really just depends on the level of evolution of that person, what options are available. So, in our past until now, and let's look at evolution, we can say we've all been deformed. Because evolution is what? A gradual increase in the standard level of things. So if we go back far enough in our own personal evolution, we've all been deformed. We've all been the most crazy people around the place. We've all been sick and unwell. And we all have still some traces of those things in us. But as we evolve, we get a little bit better, we correct some things, we re-educate, we change some things, we keep going. So if I'm a person now who is still, I consider myself, say, deformed, well, I'm really not doing too well. Sick, okay, sick, you know, sick, there's still some hope. We can cure things, right? Like, we'll cure the deformations as well, but sick is less bad than deformed. And then straight is more correct. Going well, things are pretty well organized. And so, and it's interesting how we go from one, and within one life, we recuperate more lucidity in the life, and we start to get a clearer picture of ourselves. When we're young, we often don't have a very clear picture of ourselves. We could have lots of weak traits. So the point of these, and giving ourselves marks for all of this, as we start to identify what traits we have developed well, what traits we haven't got developed well at all, or are misusing, and they're actually like an impediment for our personal development and growth, or we can identify traits that we are lacking, we simply don't have. So we give ourselves marks on each of these questions, or an individual does this, and then we get to the point where we generate a kind of graphics, and there's spreadsheets available that do this, and we're going to build other applications which explain it better. And you can see, you know, on each question how we mark, the different sections get ranked. What section are you strongest in? Is it bioenergies? Is it rationality? Is it prioritization? Is it universality? So we get this really broad picture, and we think it's very incomplete, right? There's 2,000 questions in the methodology as it stands. We think there needs to be at least 50,000. But writing these questions is not an easy thing. Some people said, yeah, let's make 50,000. I went, yeah, I'll leave that for you guys because it's complicated. Working on an evaluation sheet, answering all of these 20 questions for this one evaluation sheet, you could do it in an hour, you could do it in 8 hours. It just depends. Because you can just go, I'm going to just write a note, I've done it really quick and be done with it. But you'll see the benefits when you start to do the self-investigation and self-research, the reflection on yourself. it becomes not addictive, but it becomes quite compelling, because you go deeper inside yourself and you start to identify, yeah, that's a real weak trait. Once you've identified, you've done a diagnosis, it's actually, you're halfway there. Like the relief when you see a real problem that you have is like, once you identify it, it's actually a relief. Many people want to run away from it, employ all sorts of ego defense mechanisms and avoidance strategies, but it's actually a very positive thing. And so we see here, like, you know, the sheets start out more basic, the questions here are more basic, more rustic, and then by the time we get down over here, they're really quite advanced. So if you want to get a view of how the range of the questions and the range of different attributes related to this particular trait, you get a really good understanding of things by looking at the evaluation sheet as a whole. So here, you know, as a consequence, what is the extent of your canine-like behavior of factious and xenophobic territorial self-defense? Right? Many times you need to get a dictionary. Some of these words you probably will know, but many times you need to get a dictionary. You need to go there and what is that word? What are they saying? What are they trying to, what's he meaning? But if you identify well the words and the ideas, you'll see how they really give you a perspective on humanity that is kind of lacking in many avenues.
Could I find these words in a dictionary?
Yep. Many of them. This one here, for example, consing, you'll find in the glossary in the book. In the sciences, we're creating a lot of new neologisms. Actually, there's over 14,000 neologisms. And part of my thing is linguistics, and we're translating them to English and so on. So yes, either in the glossary or in a dictionary. So we want to try to make people go up with these things, so it's a challenge. It's not easy always, but...
I have a general question. Do you have a model like of personal development? So, do you have can you evaluate?
Yeah.
Like, and do you have a full development, like, or for the same with each person? Like, would be kind
of. Everyone has their own condition, and so it's always different. But there is an external. You missed out. You came in after.
Yeah, I missed something.
There's a page. There was a slide where we had the evolutionary scale of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
of consciousnesses, and that shows. So it's around 10%. So 25%. Lots of people sort of around 25%. Lots of characteristics. We talk about the process of assistance and multidimensionality and parapsychism,
mm-hmm.
And cosmoethics. As we get more evolved, these things develop more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what? Our ability to cope with different things. But I can show you those things. I don't know what's even on the website, which I'll give you a link to.
Is it possible to get
that
flyer? The flyer is
they're quite different.
What comes to my mind, I'm very much into yoga, is the chakra system. The one that you've got here is like the root chakra, the basic.
We do talk about chakra.
There's
evaluation sheet on chakrality. We talk about it quite a lot.
Or Maslow also, the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, there's interesting consequences. So what are these consequences? I'm probably out of time, aren't I? Or pretty close to it. Yeah, already. So the outcomes are an increasingly precise self-assessment of your self-knowledge, your personal multidimensional reality, the quality of the subjective interpretation of your intraconsciential experiences, personal strong traits, weak traits and absent traits, facts and their consequences from your existence, because you're going to recall them time and again and then different evaluation sheets. The process of the evocation of memory is really strong and really quite interesting. And then based on that, you tend to change things naturally. Like, no one tells you to. You naturally decide you're going to change certain things and you need to change certain things. So we have this process of what we call recycling. So that could be existential recycling. You know, you change location, you change job, things in your existence, or you change things within yourself. So you it's kind of a self-correcting procedure you enter into. And then self-cures, because we think, you know, we are our own problem. and the paradigm and the approach we take to consciousness. We are our own problem, but we're also our own solution. We get ourselves into it, and we'll find our way out of it as we evolve and we get a broader interpretation or understanding of who we are. And more self-realism, which is a very, you know, it's funny, but maybe really in the experience of life, you start to fit better inside yourself. When you understand yourself better, you feel more at ease inside yourself and in your life, and things make more sense, as opposed to there being a lot of conflict and a lot of struggling and fighting with things, often within ourselves and therefore many times between others. Things start to make more sense. And then, as I showed briefly as well, you get an overview of marks for all these things. So that was what I was just saying. And then there's a few links to the site, Isaac Franz here, where there's a number of the article I wrote for the conference and so on is there. And that's where the book will be available. Yeah, same here. Yeah, great. It's on that thing as well. So guys, sorry I went over time, but we're all pretty relaxed in this room, so I hope it's not too bad.
I didn't notice.
But if you've got any questions, feel free.